Okay, I have thought about today's intro a little bit longer than I usually do, because viewers might have noticed. I don't know. My first thought was to pretend that you are Christian Britschke, or maybe that we've recast Christian Britschke with like a similar-ish looking dude. You're Jason Russell. You also work here at Reason.
Yeah.
Actually in a position of some seniority. So we can't have the same. I like to bully Christian. I'm trying to make him develop an eating disorder. You're the boss, so I can't say anything, you know, mean to you.
No.
That's no, another great point, by the way. Good
yes,
job.
Thank yeah. you. Yeah. Very annoyed to be here. annoyed with Christian for abandoning us and making his boss fill in for him to do his work for him, basically. And annoyed with you for thinking that the viewers would fall for this.
I mean, it's at a glance, it's well, Reason has what two types of people they hire physically. Yeah. One is the archetype that you are, and most of our male employees, like white guy with some facial hair, not a full, not like a you know, not Gandalf or something.
Should I do that?
I think that'd be a great look for you.
Would it help me stand out a little bit more? Because it is confusing sometimes.
Well, I'm adjusting my appearance to make you more comfortable. I put on a hat for you because you're more of a sports guy. And you're a fellow Michigander. Mm-hmm. So this is our home team. Go Wings.
Go Wings.
We're supportive of that. And then the other archetype for Reason is like a librarian type woman, like a Hermione Granger, brown-haired girl, I think.
Okay, but like from the fifth book when she's starting to get cute? Because otherwise it's a little...
Well, you're the boss, so you can say that, not me. I avoid any kind of... We have a robust HR department here that I don't want to run afoul of yet again. So Christian is off, finally atoning for his crimes. I think they want him probably in connection with Prince Andrew. Who knows what he said to whoever.
Yeah, there are some swords involved, apparently. I don't know if it's like a long sword or a machete. I don't know if a machete is
You're not even kidding right now. That's a true story, right?
There's something with a...
It's like a Kenan and Kel opening. Like, give me a katana and a bulletproof vest. Like, that is literally what he requested for the reporting trip he's going on now.
Yeah, it's going to be good. Or he's going to die and it'll be even better. But it'll be a good story.
Good riddance.
Either way.
Good riddance.
Then you'll be stuck with me forever.
Okay. Well, we hope the viewers warm to you. We get mostly positive comments. I hope that doesn't end today. We're going to discuss first on my list, tariffs. Couldn't really connect that to anything because I just found out about 5 minutes before we sat down to film that the tariffs got struck down.
Tariffs are dead.
So, you know, take it away because you're an expert in this and you've been studying it all morning to prepare for it and you know exactly the contours of the constitutional arguments.
No, with this and with everything else that we talk about today, I'm going to stress that I did no preparation.
Yeah.
Like I did more preparation on how I was going to look for this than on what we were going to talk about.
Wow, you're so brilliant and handsome, boss.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah, I don't even know that I'm an expert on this because like we thought this ruling was going to come in January. So I bought a bunch of stock, thought that was smart.
Yeah.
Even last week bought some Bitcoin and I thought tariff ruling is going to come down. Economy is going to go way up. We're going to be good to go. And I checked my 401k before we came on. It's the same. It's like up a little
bit. It hasn't hit the market yet. They don't know yet.
I think the market knows.
I don't know how money works.
Like everyone expected this to happen. Yeah, I think it was baked in already.
Yeah, I mean, that has been something I've heard the people on the other side of this say that, you know, they haven't been the destructiveness of the tariffs isn't harming the economy to the degree that, you know, we said it would. At the same time, what, inflation remained stubbornly high?
Yeah, it's like three or four. It's not great.
And people, like, the problem with the tariffs is, I think it's difficult to quantify, is that, you know, if you go talk to small business owners everywhere, they're like, yeah, the cost of what I do just got way more expensive.
Yeah.
And that's...
And then I obviously pass it on to my customers who are mad about the prices.
I pass on to my customers, yes, the number one frustration of people in the last 3 years economically, the price of everything, or I didn't open up a second location, or I didn't, you know, I contracted my business in some way. It's like the the growth that would have occurred is what we've lost from this. But all over now, Supreme Court said, I understand, it's like a bunch, it's one of those decisions where A concurs with B and C, but it's a 6-3 decision, basically.
And it had to do with the emergency tariffs only, so it's not like all tariffs are dead, sadly.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can't just be like, it's an emergency, so tariffs.
Right. You, the president. You can still, like, I see a lot of hand-wringing from kind of like the Civil War MAGA people being like, well, we tried to do this the right way. Mm-hmm. And so now we have to have a right-wing civil war. But you didn't try to do it the right way. The right way would be for the legislature to pass a law. Like, This option is, it was always available to you. It's still available to you if you think the Republicans control the legislature, if they think this is such a good idea. But the problem is that most elected Republicans don't think doing the tariffs is a good idea, but they don't want to tell Trump that it's a bad idea because they don't want to say anything but, you know, yes, daddy, harder to Trump. So they were just letting him do this, and they would not pass a bill of this nature.
Yeah.
But they still could if they wanted to do it.
No, they're super cucked.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Now you're picking up the language of our podcast.
Good.
Which my grandmother doesn't appreciate. She tried to watch this one, and she said, Robbie, you're such insightful, and that other boy is so insightful, but I don't like that salty language. And I said, Grandma, this is just going to be one I don't think you can listen to.
Yeah.
You'll have to listen to me on one of the other 800,000.
No, I think we need the FCC to come in and, like, you know, do the 7 words that you can't say on YouTube anymore.
Oh, my God. Like, wouldn't that be insane?
It wouldn't be shocking, but it would be bad. Yeah, it would be bad.
Well, this FCC, that's another story we could talk about if you followed any of that stuff.
You're the boss.
This way. Okay, well, I'm not done on the tariffs. Okay. I had, like, two more things to say, and that was that, no, I'm out of things to say on it. I didn't prepare enough. Okay, we'll go to the FCC. They said this week that they didn't say anything.
Stephen
Colbert said that they had ordered CBS to not let him do this interview with James Tallarico.
Yeah, that's not what happened.
That's not what happened. Stephen Colbert lied. CBS's lawyers said they were worried the segment would violate the equal time rule because they weren't going to have Jasmine Crockett on or something.
Right.
So they just put it on YouTube.
Right.
And it got more attention to James Tallarico, who will probably win this primary
now.
Total
Streisand effect, for sure.
Exactly. That's what I think it is. The FCC should be abolished entirely.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
No, I mean, like, what purpose do they serve, right? Like,
yeah.
It's either regulation of this thing or that thing, or it's like, you know, we can, like, auction off Spectrum or whatever without the FCC.
Auction off to the highest bidder.
Right. But no, and like this whole like, oh, we've expanded the equal time rule to late night television, but not to talk radio. You know, we can't do that. You know, conservatives, they can still talk to their people without needing to interview the other
side. I'm glad they do. They should.
Yeah.
But they should on Stephen Colbert should interview whoever he wants. No one's watching. No one cares. More people are going to see that interview on YouTube, on Twitter, everywhere else. I did appreciate Jasmine Crockett's increasing saltiness that this is just helping him. Like, she was in interviews about it. She was like, yeah, well, good for him.
When was the last time you were like, yes, I'm excited to see this thing on late night television?
Never. Late night television sounds like torture. Yeah.
Yeah. It was, I gotta say, it was like back when Conan was getting kicked off.
Yes.
Which Tonight Show, was that what it was?
Yes.
And he was just like went nuts with his budget and was doing crazy stuff. But I watched it the next day on the internet even then.
Right. I watch, if they do anything successful that's funny or interesting, I'll engage with it when it appears on social media. Yeah. I mean, the idea of watching like live television, I mean, you're more of a, you have a house. You have a wife and a child, you know, you have I've been to your home. You have a television in the downstairs and the upstairs. So do you just have the TV on a lot?
Because I'm a sports guy.
For sports.
I like to be like,
so
I'm going to throw the golf on while I'm doing whatever.
Right. Okay. That would be, actually, to put on golf would be one of the only things I would use my TV for. You and I went golfing, actually.
We did. That was a good time.
It was fun. You're good. I'm terrible, but I love golf. You watch a lot of sports. Yeah, but you wouldn't. Okay, so you do put the TV on for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when the sports are done, I turn off the TV or I play video games or whatever. But I'm not like leaving TV on at 11 o'clock to see what the late night show is saying.
I would like to cancel my cable subscription, but I know that doing that will involve being on the phone with Verizon Fios all afternoon. And I would rather, I mean, my revealed preference is just paying like $200 a month for something I do not use at all for years rather than being talk to them on the phone.
Yeah, I had to roll over a 401k to get on the phone.
Ouch.
And it wasn't even like a call this number whenever you want thing. It was like a, you have to schedule this 2 weeks in advance.
Ouch.
And then when the time came, they were like, actually, can we reschedule and like do this another time? And I was like, you made me do this. Empower Retirement. So I did not appreciate that.
I remember trying to talk to Verizon about, you know, I have the phone is Verizon, mm-hmm. the cable is Verizon, but these are two different types of Verizon.
Oh, yeah.
And they can't be consolidated. And I'm like, you have to have an app for both. And I'm like, is there any way these can be combined into one? And it was like I had asked them, you know, to start, I don't know, committing genocide or something. It was the way they reacted to me on the phone seeking this. And all they managed to do at the end of this 6-hour call, mm-hmm. which I took in the conference room several weeks ago, and that was when I was throwing things and I was screaming, it was about Verizon.
We all remember. It was,
This is also a common occurrence.
That's why we don't remember.
Or there's not enough parking in this parking structure. That's a another thing. They couldn't help me, and they, in fact, just made it worse.
That's cool. That's great. I'm happy for you. Corporations are great. We love the private sector.
Love that private sector.
Sometimes they're bad at what they're doing.
Well, it's so funny. Everybody got mad at big tech for so long. Right now, they're doing another trial of big tech. Zuckerberg testified this week in one of those boo-hoo, my child felt sad. It's Facebook's fault. I'm suing them for millions of dollars.
Yep.
You know, big tech, evil, bad companies, monopolies.
That's the most absurd
Verizon
part.
And Comcast and those companies actually have government regulations that go into maintaining the infrastructure of what they do. And their customer service is terrible.
Yeah.
And you pay a lot of money and it's, you know, hidden fee. It's not good.
Right. It's more of like a public utility
but
problem.
But people never rail at them. I mean, people do rail at them, but there's not a call for our regulators to do something. Whereas Facebook provides you for free something you don't have to use if you don't want to.
Right.
And it seems to me more responsive. In fact, if you actually have a problem with some kind of moderation decision they've done to you on YouTube or Twitter or whatever, it's annoying, but I've had it happen and I get somebody to fix it pretty quickly with regard to, again, the idea of calling Comcast and getting them to fix something is, whenever you've had to do that, you would rather shoot yourself in the head.
Right. What was it like?
Am I wrong?
No, it was like 5 or 6 years ago when Facebook was like, we're going to rate some news. And then after that, they were like, you know what? No more news. Just no more news. No more rating the news. Just no more news.
Oh, we miss the news days.
We would love the traffic from the news, to be sure. We would love for the traffic to
come
back.
At the Washington Examiner in those days, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good times.
Yeah. It was good times.
That was nice because you felt like, you know, as an editor, I felt like I had more control over, like, I could just turn some dials and, like, get the traffic, right? It was like, well, traffic's low right now, but if I put out a piece that says this with this headline, then Google will take off or Facebook will take off and, like, the traffic will come back.
Right. And that's over. That's dead.
Well,
now, as an editor, so your role is you're the managing editor of the print product and oversee the web cover. You make decisions.
I do things.
In the era of Facebook traffic, so people don't know, I bring up this point, so most people listening know this, is that from 2010 to 2020, most of our web traffic and just most publications in general, Facebook, massive attention to articles from Facebook. Facebook was the distribution model for news coverage. It's not anymore.
Right.
So it used to be almost formulaic
in
what you would do to maximize coverage of an issue.
Correct.
Because we knew what Facebook would reward, what kind of headline. And it could be, frankly, in some cases, this was true of my own writing, almost very aggregated. Somebody else wrote something about something that happened.
Oh, yeah.
Here's my 2-paragraph summary of what happened. Snappy headline, 2 clauses in the headline. XX happened, and XX won't believe XXY something.
Yeah.
Now, you know, when you're assigning things or thinking about like what we're going to cover, you actually get to consider quality or what's important because you're not just thinking, well, I know this will perform and this won't.
Right. Well, no, it's always been like, oh, we have to adapt to like whatever. Because people were, you know, in 2010, it was like, well, if we just get SEO, then we'll be good. And then it was, well, if we just take off on Facebook and Twitter, then we'll be good. And if it was, oh, we'll just do Facebook live videos and then we'll be good. Pivot to video. And there's always a pivot, right? Like, it's a thing. It's like, there's always, like, this is how you get traffic. And then 3 years later, it's something else.
But we are pivoting to video now.
We're pivoting to what the people want.
What the people want.
Yes, which is several different things.
What libertarians want.
Yes.
Yes. And I think that's a good thing, broadly. I think that's freed us to be more creative, to do more. You know, I used to generate, you know, 3 to 5 short articles a day that were sometimes just summaries of other people's articles.
That was the way.
Now, I write when I feel like I have something to say.
You got a newsletter. You got to do that every week.
Yeah. And I was so reluctant to do. I'm like, why would I commit to doing one thing at one time? I should do something when I feel like it.
Uh-huh.
Now that I write less, it's good to have it. No, once a week, you have to generate something of some substance and some thought. You do a sports newsletter because you're a sports guy.
It's a good time. Sometimes it's silly. Sometimes it's serious.
Yeah. So you're a big Michigan sports person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. So we're from, where are you from in Michigan again?
Commerce Township.
Right. I don't even know where that is.
It's where Connor Hellebuck is from, and he is the goalie for the U.S. men's hockey team.
Okay, that's the Olympic stuff?
Is that going on right now? It's at 3 o'clock.
So. I don't... Yeah, oh, you've had it on at your desk.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You were here yesterday when I freaked out, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
you scared Catherine with your celebrating... I don't know.
We won. It was awesome. The woman who scored the winning goal was also from Michigan, from Farmington Hills.
Really?
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
How have Michigan sports been performing lately?
Better. They used to be absolute garbage.
When I was a kid... They were all bad.
Yeah.
Well, the Red Wings were great.
The
Red Wings were fantastic.
The Pistons won in the 2000s. They were good.
The Lions were bad.
Lions were always bad.
Yes.
Yeah. Then they had like and then it was bad again.
Yeah.
Now.
They've been pretty great-ish.
Hit or miss, yeah.
Yeah. All I care about is University of Michigan football.
Right.
Which, has always been decent. Had some not fantastic years while I was in college at the University of Michigan.
Yeah.
And subsequently, and then had all worship Harbaugh, great, greatest year ever, everything great, and now has a lot of scandal going on.
That's a perfect topic for this show.
That delightful. I'm like, I told my my producers on all my various news shows, I never say this, but we can talk about a sports topic today.
There we go.
Because the coach threatened to kill someone and got fired and had an affair, and it was pretty bad.
It was interesting.
Yeah. You're drinking. Good for you.
Yeah.
He's drinking.
It's Friday. It's 11:47 a.m.
You're the boss. So if you say...
On Fridays, I drink at 11:47 a.m. and you don't get to interrupt that.
Good for you. All right. I'm loving it.
Probably not the best topic to start the drinking.
I usually wait for happy hour, but maybe once I finish with this coffee, I'll take up on that.
Yeah.
We didn't... we can't have Christian do this because he drinks too quickly. And he would be incoherent by the end of the podcast. So that is
an
upgrade.
But it would be it would be good TV, which, you know, people watch YouTube on TV now. So it would be good TV.
It would be good TV.
It would be good TV.
So how are the Lions doing now?
They missed the playoffs this year. So that was a bummer.
That's right. That was not good.
But they got good talent. They're going to bounce back. They're going to be there next year.
I heard that from my dad. My family was all went to Michigan State. My brother.
Okay.
My sister-in-law, both my parents. So they were all Michigan State fans growing up.
I think this is a thing in Michigan that like...
It's Michigan or Michigan State.
Well, yes. But like people, their families grew up. Their families all went to Michigan State. And then their families are well-educated. And then they grew up even more well-educated. And then you up going to Michigan. And it's like you grow up rooting for Michigan State. And then your family or you or your friends or whatever go to Michigan. And you're like, I guess I got to switch now.
The only thing I pay even less attention to than sports in Michigan is the Olympics. I don't think I've ever watched 2 seconds of the Olympics.
No, you're missing out.
In my life, what is the appeal?
Crushing our other, you know, the other nations, right?
I do like that. I want to beat
especially
China.
When it's like...
I hate China.
Well, yeah, China's bad.
Yeah.
And
that traitorous woman...
Eileen.
Yeah, fuck her.
Yeah,
right?
It's not great. I mean, yeah,
she went to go be an athlete for her adversaries.
For $3 million. Probably up to six. Her and another athlete got $6 million.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know. Would you become Chinese if they paid you $3 million?
No, fuck no. Okay. Absolutely not. Fuck them.
Thank you. Yeah. That's good to know.
I'm an American.
That's good. You should be an American. She said something. She was like asked by someone, a good reporter, about like, oh, but what about the genocide in China?
And she's like, what genocide?
Right. No, like all the time she's been like, oh, I'm so smart. I'm whatever. I go to Stanford. But on the genocide, she was like, well, I'd have to do my own research. I'd have to go there. I'd have to do all this stuff. And it's like,
they won't let you go there. They'll shoot you.
You don't form opinions without having like, you can like, yes, doing your own research is good. But also like, it's okay to like listen to some experts and like agree with what the whole world knows is happening.
I mean, she can't, obviously she can't, they're not, she can't say anything bad about China, whatever. But then what's the point of asking like the American athletes to badmouth the American government?
Right.
But we have freedom of speech. So then they'll say, and then Trump gets mad about it, which is stupid too.
Right.
And it's all stupid and performative. But like the truly, obviously I'm fine with criticism of the government. That's what we do for a living. It's fine. But it just, it does seem it bothers me on some level that, well, because we have freedom, our athletes are asked pointed questions that they don't even feel like answering about American politics.
And they're allowed to say bad things and nothing
but
terrible.
The ones that authoritarians are like, no, it's great. I love the chairman.
Right.
Don't shoot me.
Well, and Eileen Gu, like, she's still an American. She still lives in America. She goes to Stanford. Like, she could be at any moment be like, you know what? This is wrong. I made a mistake. Like, actually, China sucks and they're terrible.
That would be great.
And she wouldn't be deported from America because she's an American. Like, she would lose her $3 million from China. But, like, she could do that, right? It would be fine. It's one thing when it's like, this is still not great. But Alexander Ovechkin, right? Super bad Putin kind of supporter or sympathizer.
Mm-hmm.
Still has a lot of family in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
So I get it a little bit, but you don't need to your Instagram profile picture does not need to be like you hugging Putin.
Yeah. Although they say that for, I know some of the Chinese people or just Chinese people, not even famous people who are in the U.S. going to school or whatever that, well, they have, I've heard this argument that they have family and their family could be harassed by the government.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, what do you expect them to do?
Well, it would be nicer then in that case to be like, well, you can just live here now, right? Like, you came to school in America.
Gotta bring the whole family
over. You can just
be
an immigrant. I guess, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, the stupidest thing is sending them back to China, in my view, after we educate them. I don't know why we do that.
No.
And Trump knows that's stupid and has said, I don't want to send them back. But, you know, the restrictionists want to send everybody back.
Yeah.
Which then they've just taken advantage of our resources. And then we should get the social benefit of having them remain in our country and use their increased intelligence to start companies and build things and make us more prosperous.
Right.
Well, but if they go back, stupid.
Yeah. And some people are like, oh, we don't even want to have them in our universities to start with. And that's terrible because they're subsidizing
Americans. That's on my list today.
Oh.
We will go to that. Actually, this might be someone you worked with, Helen Andrews.
I don't think I worked with her now.
She was at the Examiner for a brief time.
Maybe.
She's been at a couple places. TAC, whatever. She makes a big deal on Twitter periodically. Mm-hmm. She weighs in with provocative opinions.
And you wrote an article about it.
Well, she had an article in Compact that was, and she'd been on this tear against Asian immigrants, high-performing Asian immigrants recently.
She doesn't like them.
Basically, her problem is they're too good. Is grind mentality or like the tiger mom, you know, the kind of stereotypes.
She kind of
mostly
like a tiger
positive
mom.
Stereotypes that you associate with Asian people could nevertheless make us too cutthroat in terms of academic performance at all else.
So she wants people to try less.
That's the thrust of the. Well, I mean, to be fair to her, I can see the. It's like when Vivek Ramaswamy had that tweet that got a lot of pushback that everybody hated when he was like, you know, America is becoming less globally competitive because the nerd archetype is stigmatized and, you know, we should elevate our rivals who are doing so much better for themselves are elevating pure intelligence. But of course, you know, being successful is a balance of pure intelligence and also charisma and those other attributes that do well in D&D to make a well-rounded nation or person or
dexterity,
player.
Dexterity.
Athletics, constitution.
Absolutely.
Constitution's good.
We
constitution's
need
important.
Constitution.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yes, we got to be well. You're right. Being just smart, but, you know, so autistic you can't accomplish anything or whatever is not, we don't want that for every single person in the society. It's got to be some balance. Fine.
Yeah.
But then She's basically saying this about Asians in the context of what's happened in elite education for in the last, what, two-ish, two, 3 years, where affirmative action, race-based preferences actually get struck down by the Supreme Court. We now have a paradigm where they're really not supposed to do it. I'm sure they're finding creative ways to do it, but can't do race-based preferences. That has resulted in an increase, huge increase in share of student population at Harvard and other places that is Asian, which is as expected, because they were the ones being harmed by a policy of artificially uplifting other races. But what she said in this article, or I saw it tweeted, was that it's just helping Asian enrollment. White enrollment has fallen, and Latino and Black enrollment had not fallen. Why? So she was saying this is all coming at the expense of white people. So she was trying to put like pit Asians and whites against each other.
I feel like once upon a time, maybe it was a conservative thing to be like, well, who cares about race?
Oh,
like,
well, we're past that.
We care again.
Totally moved on. I know.
That's the problem, right? Is looking through it through that lens, right? Like just being like, what difference does it make what races are going to what schools?
That's my issue. Totally here, absorbed the woke idea that we gotta, the first thing you should notice is race and identity. And they have, you know, the railing against whiteness, et cetera, that kind of the far left, the progressive woke people have done.
Yeah.
The reaction to that is now a very race conscious conservative movement in my
view,
which is bad.
Pretty
right.
Racist.
Very bad. But it wasn't even true because then I looked at the statistics and she was wrong. It did not only come at the expense of white enrollment. I looked at the actual numbers. Kathy Young pointed out an issue with this to me and then I looked at it myself. And yes, of course the Latino and Black numbers fell as well. So it is not the case.
You did your own research?
I did my own research. And, you know, I got a lot of questions about, was it 6 million? Was it 3 million? Was it, you know, who
it's
knows?
It's all bad. I think what's worse.
9/11 was an inside job, and they were covering up the planning of 9/11. That's
I think what's worse than the killing is the hypocrisy.
Yeah. You know, I can tolerate racism, but I just can't.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many murders, but hypocrites. Yeah. There's you know, so
that's
rare.
What really gets to me is the hypocrisy. Yeah. The racism is fine, but the hypocrisy, no. So that didn't happen. And then she has this.
The Holocaust did happen, just to be clear. What didn't happen?
Well, you know, things happened, things didn't happen. Who knows? Who knows where we'll land in the future?
Was Anne Frank real or not? Time traveler?
Did you have to read the diary in
oh,
high school?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, it's great. It's a good piece of literature. I think it happened.
I think it happened.
You know, I don't, however you feel about it is whatever, Jason, I think it happened.
Yeah, I think it's possible that the woman turned them in, though. That's possible.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So it was an inside job in the attic.
Maybe, yeah.
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 Hitler, bad guy. You know?
Well, yes.
Hot take.
Yes.
Bad guy.
Uh-huh. I have to fully endorse the Hitler
don't like
bad take. Yeah.
Hitler, I don't like ISIS, Jeffrey Epstein, bad. Even though I'm being dragged for being such a contrarian, I'm still bad guy. Bad guy.
Jeffrey Epstein?
Jeffrey Epstein. Not Dr. Jeffrey Epstein, who's a respectable doctor in New York.
I thought his name was Jim.
Jim Epstein. We have someone on staff named Jim Epstein.
Yes.
Yes. That's
I
don't think he committed any sex crimes, but who knows what he's been up to.
He's guilty until proven innocent, right?
That's right. So. That's the mob justice we're languishing under. Mm. And I object to that. But I'm not done with the Asians.
Okay.
And this piece also said that that Asians support affirmative action.
Okay.
So she's being like, why are we even helping them? Because they want race preferences. But I looked at the poll, like affirmative action as a concept sometimes just means it's broad. It could just mean, oh, letting these little inner city kids know that you could apply to Harvard. Like that's affirmative action too. Race preferences is saying you get extra points toward admissions if you're Black or Latino or Native American, whatever
it is.
Or you get less if you're Jewish or Asian or whatever. They don't support race preferences by a you know, three quarters majority, just like the rest of the population. No one does. This is a losing polling issue. This is an issue that lost, well, every time it's put on the ballot, it loses. It lost in California.
And like almost every time it's at the Supreme Court, too, it loses.
Yes, because it's very obvious that you should not discriminate against race. But the Supreme Court came up with a very weird justification to leave it in place in the decision for our school,
for Michigan.
The Michigan decision.
Okay. To be clear, Michigan's not my school. I didn't go there.
All right. My school. You're an honorary Michigan guy.
I went to the University of Rochester, a well-regarded research university in Rochester, New York.
Okay.
In the D3 athletic system.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What was the sport you cared about there?
Oh, actually, so they were D3 in everything except for squash. I don't know how that came to be.
Squash.
But yes.
What is squash?
Squash is like racketball, which is it's similar.
What is racketball? No, I actually know what racketball is. Okay. I like racketball.
Yeah, so squash is like a smaller ball and heavier ball and a smaller court. So it's harder than racketball. Racketball is a lot more fun.
Does it have a quaffle and a snitch?
No, yes, exactly.
That's
and Harry Potter is very good at it too.
Yeah.
But yeah, we were D1 in squash and like every year top five in the nation in squash. And it was always like us against like Trinity College or Harvard or Yale or something in the finals. So that was fun.
I would love to play racquetball again.
Oh, yeah.
Racquetball in college.
Super fun.
Very fun.
Just like because the ball's bouncing, you just run all over the place.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
It's very
fun. Squash is just like you're throwing your shoulder out every time you hit the ball.
You play pickleball. We played pickleball.
Oh, yeah. That was a good time. Yeah, pickleball's good.
Then I taught it to some dudes I went on a like bachelor party weekend trip with. Uh-huh. And these were I didn't know most of them. The friend in common was the guy who was getting married, or he had just gotten married. He was doing a bachelor party post their wedding.
Oh yeah, I did that too.
And he was a friend of mine from high school. We were on the track and cross country team together. I was a good runner. He was like the best in the state.
He was
the state champion 2-miler. He went and ran at Cornell University on their track team. So this was the Cornell University track team. Okay. So these are some pretty athletic dudes. And lo and behold, they're all pretty good at pickleball, including one of them who was like, he was a professional runner. He runs like 100-mile races through the desert.
I love that.
Yeah. And
I love to read about that.
Surprise, surprise. He was the best at pickleball and golf and every activity we did that
weekend. Did you do cross country in high school too?
Yes.
What was your best time ever?
Ooh.
In high school.
16, 50.
That is really good.
I got under 17. It's pretty good.
Mine was like 1945 or something.
Okay,
so yeah, you were a lot better at that.
I mean, I was on the varsity team. I was like good.
I like snuck up on there once when it was like I was like the fifth or seventh best or something, and that was it. And then like the other 2 years or whatever, I was not good enough. So
cross country is really fun.
Yeah.
And the meets for it, the competition is great because it's just over. You go, you do it. You don't have to wait around all day for your event compared to track.
Yeah, I didn't do track, but yeah.
When we do the when you go to the track meet, you have to sit there, especially if it's a big, you know, with a bunch of teams.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's at some college football stadium, and you just sit in the stands literally all day, having no idea when your event is, when you should be warmed up for your event. Should I go to the bathroom again? Should I eat something? Or I've eaten something too close. It's just a...
I mean, at least your event is long, but like if you're in the 100 meters, right? Like that's 10 seconds that you're waiting.
But if you're going to do a couple things like the long distance runners for the cross country team, we're generally doing the longer, you know, the 800 and the mile and the 2 mile.
Uh-huh.
And then and those are stretched out or you're doing some relay. And it's just, I would get a lot of anxiety thinking about, should I have that bagel now? Should I have it in 20 minutes? Should when is it coming? Did we miss it? Oh my God, wait, they're doing it right now. Get down to the field, blah. Honestly, it was like, and it'd be like that all day. I remember a couple meets where, you know, we'd been there since 10 a.m.
Right.
And it's like after midnight and they still haven't, because there's so many teams and we still haven't done it. And a coach said, you know what, to hell with it. We're going home.
Yeah. I feel like hopefully technology has helped fix these problems. Right? Well, there's someone who's just running these things on an app now, right? Like, we don't need some guy with a clipboard crossing stuff off. Like,
you know, in my day, you really needed a clipboard and a whistle and a little timer.
Right. Now coaches are just ChatGPT.
Oh,
right?
That sucks.
Yeah.
But cross country was fun because you run through the woods.
Yeah.
It's 20 minutes. It's done.
Yeah.
And then you just have a little picnic with the boys, and yeah, it's a good day.
In my last couple of years, I, like, found an extra gear in, like, my closing, right? And I would just, like, lose my mind. I was, like, literally screaming with adrenaline as I crossed the finish line. I was like, ah!
You have to be dead when you cross the finish line. Oh, yeah. If you're not dead, you know you did a bad job. You have to, like, stagger across the line and collapse immediately.
Yeah.
Or you didn't leave it all on the field. I mean, the interesting about cross country is that every race is different because every course is different.
Yeah.
Whereas in track, your best time in the 400 is your best time in the 400.
Right.
But in cross country, some of the courses have hills.
This one's hillier, this one's flatter,
right.
Whatever.
So there's some where, like, my best time is obviously from a course that's flatter.
Uh-huh.
There were some courses that have giant hills, and then if you got in the 19 minutes, that was really, really good.
Right.
So yeah, our home course was really hilly, so we liked doing that because then we'd throw off our opponents.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you go to state finals at the Speedway?
Yes.
That's pretty cool that's where the finals were.
Yes. We went there to support, our team didn't qualify, unfortunately.
Okay, but like the,
My friend,
the
Peter,
top guy, yeah.
The guy who went on to be the 2 mile champion, he was in the race. And so we went there to watch and support him. That was pretty cool. Yeah, it's
out
on
in
the
Brooklyn.
What's that?
That's the weird thing about this place. It's the middle of nowhere, Michigan, but it's called Brooklyn, Michigan.
I didn't
even
know what it's called. Yeah, it's like a NASCAR race.
Yeah, it's
race
2 miles. Oh, so it's the asphalt is 2 miles long, but like the race is just like in and out, and it has nothing to do with, like, you finish across the actual finish line of this racetrack, but like.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, we had we narrowly missed qualifying for that my senior year, which was very depressing. We all kind of had like a bad race in the qualifying one because we had done really well that year. We'd like won every one of our meets. I was getting my best times. So we just narrowly missed it. Yeah, I had a good, my junior year track season and my senior year cross country season were my good. I was at the top of my game then.
Nice.
I did very badly before that. I'd like peaked my freshman year and then gotten injured and then not gotten it back for several years. Then I was back in a good running place for like those two consecutive seasons.
Do you ever think about trying to do 5Ks again and try to beat your high school time?
Oh, yes. And I will never succeed at that. I mean, I kept up running. I still run now.
Yeah.
I'm just pathetically slow. But I did try to stay in good running shape. I was really proud of myself. Like, I think a year or 2 years into college, me and my buddy, we went and ran one of the 5K races with our high school team that was open.
Yeah.
And we got, I still got like 18 minutes flat or something. I'm like, okay, I've held on.
I still got it.
But then that was that.
Yeah.
It's not a, now I don't think I could run a single mile in 18 minutes.
I heard about this guy. So his workout routine, like his sister tweeted this, on the first day of the month, he runs a mile on a treadmill, and if he can do it in under 6 minutes, he doesn't work out the rest of the month. But if he doesn't get under 6 minutes, then he's like, well, shoot, I got to work out.
That's crazy.
And so he's just like, that's his test.
That's crazy.
I think that's awesome.
Under 6 minutes on the treadmill is very hard.
And I have done that, though.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You run an under 6 minute mile?
Well, it was probably 10 years ago. But yeah. But no, and I was like,
I've done it 10 years ago.
My fastest mile was in the middle of a cross country race when I got like 5:45, and I was like, ooh, I probably started this too fast.
Isn't that funny when you get that? I like to always take it a little easy on the first mile. And that was my, I'd hold back.
Because,
right, if you get way up in front and you have a really fast first mile, you could be in trouble.
You want to sneak up on the competition.
It's even worse in track. If you're running like, the 800, which is the half mile, which is two laps around the track.
Uh-huh.
The first lap when you get your time, and if it's way too fast, you're like, oh, I'm dead. And then the next one is you'll feel like you're treading water.
Right. Well, and in track, they can see you, right? Like, you're coming around the curve. It's easy to look behind you or whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
It's well, and that's what's mentally psychs you out, because the cross country is I liked the tracks better. There were one whole, because some cross country tracks are like three loops where you do the same thing over and over again.
Right, yeah.
It's better when it's just one thing. Track gets boring. The 2 mile is eight laps around the track.
Yeah.
You just start to, you can see your progress the whole way, and it gets in your head about it. Like, oh my God.
I wish our track, I don't know if your high school had this in track, but the, what's it called with the water?
What?
In college, there was a competition.
Oh, Steeplechase.
Steeplechase. Yes. I think I would have liked that. Yeah.
You have to jump hurdles.
You have to jump hurdles and you land in water. And then after that, there's other hurdles too. Yep. Yeah.
This friend of mine, Peter, I think he did that in college or whatever. He loved it. Yeah.
That's cool.
He was nutty. He was really good at running. Sounds like fun. And jumping.
Are we still talking about Asians or where?
No. We on this thing, we can talk about nothing. Okay. We can just talk about sports or whatever. We were kind of talking about the Olympics.
Okay.
We
did cover Eileen, yeah.
Yeah. I've said all I need to say about Helen Andrews. Anyway, I think it's wrong to demonize successful immigrant, because she'll also be very critical of low performing minority groups, or based on, she's written criticisms of that too. And then it's like, okay, well, you don't want low skill immigrants who you say aren't contributing enough. You don't want high skill immigrants who are contributing too much.
Yeah,
it's like a Goldilocks kind of.
Yeah,
but the white people are just right.
Yeah,
that makes me a little.
That's a little racist,
right? Which we're obviously fine with, as we said, but I just don't. I don't care for. We need low performing immigrants too.
Yeah,
we can't. Fine. I will concede to.
Yeah.
MAGA, that we can't, if we're like totally, I guess, overrun. I don't want to lose the culture of America, but it would take a lot to do that because we have assimilated. Mm-hmm. These same complaints have been made about so many groups in the past.
Right.
My own Italians, Irish. Jews were held out of the university because, what if the elite becomes too Jewish? And guess what? The elite became pretty Jewish. And I don't have a problem with that. Some people do, but I don't. Mm-hmm. Usually it ends up being fine. So are we going to be too good at math because there's too many high-performing Asians?
Well, I think it hurts us in ways that we don't know about, right? Because it's like you hear about these people and I don't know, it's the Philippines or something, right? Mm-hmm. But when they need someone to care for their elderly, right? They just hire someone. Mm-hmm. And it's like super cheap because I don't know, whatever. But we can't do that here, right?
Yes.
Like because, all the rules and the regulations and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, if it was easy to just hire someone to watch your kid for not that much money, or hire someone to take care of your elderly parent for not that much money, that would be nice.
Not only is it not possible, but the government of the District of Columbia tries to make it more difficult at all times. They've tried to license daycare providers.
Yes, you need a college degree.
Yeah.
I think in
D.C., they want you to have
any degree, but in that
education degree to hold babies, which is just absurd.
Yeah.
You can do that job. It takes a warmth and a maternal instinct.
Yeah.
And your abuelita can do it. Abuela, whatever it is. I don't know. Anyone, not everyone can do it, but you don't need to you don't have to write a dissertation on how to hold a baby to have some intuitive grasp of a way to protect and nurture a child.
Yes.
Right?
So I have a wonderful, amazing, almost 2-year-old kid.
Yeah.
Right?
I thought the kid was going to be at the office today.
Yeah, it worked out.
Right. Daddy's drinking, so the kid is somewhere, probably who knows where.
Whatever. It's fine, right? Yeah, he's probably on the streets.
Free-ranging.
He knows how to come home.
Lenore would love that.
Yeah. but he's in daycare. 4 days a week, and it doesn't, he's probably a smarter kid for being in daycare than he would be if it was just my wife and me at home. Mm-hmm. Even if we just were totally focused on him and not working all day long, if we were just focused on raising him and making him smart, I think he's still smarter from being at daycare.
Yeah.
But I think that's from being with the other kids who are older than him or smarter than him or younger than him.
All
whatever.
The Changs and Lees and, all the Asian kids.
Well, I think it's Jimmy and Roland and...
There's a Roland?
There is a Roland.
That's a great, great name.
Yeah, it's a pretty good name. I don't think I'm going to steal that one,
good one.
Kid number two, but it's a good name.
I liked Roland from the Dark Tower series by Stephen King. Are you familiar with those? You're not?
No. I do like Stephen King. But
Roland is the
those.
Main character of Stephen King's fantasy show.
There was a show or a movie about that coming?
It's a book series.
Right,
they made a movie. It was not very good. Okay. I liked it fine, but people didn't like it. They should make a series. It's a weird fantasy series, which is it takes place in a fictional kind of Lord of the Rings world, but they have these magic doors that go into our world. So it's like a mix of, like, the first book is just, Roland is a, he's almost like a medieval cowboy type person.
Oh, that's cool.
And it is cool. And then he encounters like a teenage boy who's been who's ended up here from going through a portal in New York.
Oh, okay.
And then he meets other people from New York, and then they're going back and forth between New York and their timeline, trying to fight the bad guy. And it's pretty cool. It's
is
like
this that Heath Ledger movie?
What,
with the knights? Is A Knight's Tale?
No, A Knight's Tale is just there's no magic or, oh, okay, or that's a great movie. It makes me think of Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, which you are watching.
Oh, great show.
You are watching,
yes,
that.
Really enjoying that.
Knight's
really
Tale is that. Exactly like A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. Yeah, we're big.
I think that's what my wife said, yeah.
Okay. We're big Game of Thrones fans. Yeah, you and I watched the premiere together at Suderman's.
Yeah, yep,
I think it's been great.
So, yeah, I'm a weird fan in that I never watched the original show.
You didn't watch the original Game of Thrones?
I watched the penultimate episode because, like, I was, like, with family, and they were like, we're all watching the show. And they were like, and you can't talk during the show. And I was like, okay. And I watched it. And
oh, you didn't work here when it was on.
That was part of the, I have big FOMO energy, right? So, like, that's why I was
show
like,
up.
Dragon show is coming out, I'm watching Dragon show.
Yeah,
Night show is coming out, I'm watching Night
you
show.
You had to watch it when it aired, or yeah, not show up to work the next day.
Yeah.
At Reason. Mm-hmm. Obviously, like most rational human beings, I was profoundly disappointed in the end of Game of Thrones, to the point where it has almost spoiled my enjoyment of it.
Yeah.
Which never happens in any other context. I've been disappointed with the ends of things, and I'm like, it's fine.
Yeah, I think that's part of why I never watched it, because I was like, oh, everybody hated this. So
I would actually say to just not watch the end. It's so bad.
Okay.
But we love the Knights of the Seven Kingdoms show.
I love that show. I like House of the Dragon too. Like, second season was great, but like, I enjoyed that.
I liked it too. And,
but like, it's really interesting world building. Like,
yeah,
the politics there, it's like, I think of it as like medieval House of Cards.
Yeah.
And so I enjoy that aspect of it.
Yeah. We've got we got a trailer for the House of Dragon season 3 came out
oh,
yesterday.
I didn't see that. Good.
Yeah. Well, Christian and I were talking, I mean, you're Christian, so you and I were talking about this, that George R. R. Martin is apparently frustrated with the maker of House of, or the
of Dragon
the,
show.
The guy who runs the, no, House of the Dragon, not Knights, the House of the Dragon one.
Yeah, I call that Dragon Show.
Right, I guess that. Yeah, I guess that's the Dragon Show. Where there's no dragons in Night.
Yeah, some people say Dragon Show is to refer to all of it, and I'm like, no, Night Show is Night Show.
House of the Dragon is the Dragon Show.
Yeah.
He's frustrated with some creative choices they're making.
Okay.
And I have solidarity with George R. R. Martin, even though he won't ever finish these books, because I agree that it should be made exactly the way the author wants it made.
Okay.
With minimal changes, and he's appreciated some of the additions.
Uh-huh.
But his you know, point, his ideological argument is 99.9% of the time they come up with something different, it's worse. And that's true. I feel that as an author, sympathetic person.
I think a good example of how to do that kind of thing is The Last of Us show.
You watch that one.
Love that show.
I watched them beat to death the main character. And then I lost all interest
spoiler
in the
spoiler alert. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
it's been
out
for like a year and a half.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's not fun to be like, oh, no more Pedro Pascal on the show. That sucks. And
yeah.
But it's like,
I hate her too.
Oh, you hate her.
I hate her.
I don't hate her.
I don't like her. And I don't like the woman who had him, who killed him, I also didn't like so much.
Oh.
And they were trying to make me feel some sympathy for her. I'm like, no, I want to watch
she's
her.
A terrible person.
I want to watch her viciously
great
murdered.
Actress. I love her as an actress.
Yeah.
She's got range, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
But no, one of my weird niche loves is the podcast that HBO will put out for each of their like prestige shows. And so I have like internal rankings of like, oh, this is a good podcast. This is the bad one. True Detective Night Country. That was the worst one.
Mm.
But Last of Us was the best HBO podcast because it was just the two creators being like, this is how we adapted this from the video game to the show. This is why we made this decision. And just telling you why this show was so great. And it totally worked on me. I'm like, yeah, that was a great decision. Yeah, you did that so well. Yes, you're so good at this.
I think I just didn't have it in me to love another zombie show.
They're not zombies.
They are zombies.
They're zombies.
Zombies, have never been my favorite thing, but I did watch a lot of The Walking Dead.
Okay.
That show has had like, I don't know, 10,000 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
I think I made it through 9 seasons of it.
Aren't there like 7 spinoffs too?
Yeah, I didn't watch any of those. It's the folding clothes show. You got to fold some laundry.
No. We do Canadian comedies as our folding clothes shows.
Oh, like Letterkenny is
Schitt's
funny.
Creek. Shoresy's good enough on its own that we just sit down and watch Shoresy.
Yeah.
Like, that's the vibe.
I do like Letterkenny, which I've watched mostly from clips on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a great way to consume it. Yeah.
Walking Dead bothered me for so many reasons. The first being that it doesn't make any sense why you die from zombie bites in the Walking Dead universe, because everyone has the zombie virus already. Mm-hmm. So anyone who dies for any reason becomes a zombie, I guess, unless like your head is destroyed or whatever.
Right. Okay. So if I shot you in the Walking Dead universe.
Yeah. If you shot me here and then I just died.
You just became a zombie.
I would reanimate it as a zombie.
That makes no
sense. It's a twist, because it doesn't happen until the second season that someone dies for a reason other than a zombie bite.
Because it's in the air?
It's just... Yes, everybody has a zombie virus, but that's okay. But then why, if you're just bitten by a zombie in a non-fatal way?
Right.
You know, if you're bitten in the leg, they have to cut off your leg so that the zombie thing doesn't infect you. But you already have, I don't know why non-fatal zombie bites would cause you to slowly turn into a zombie if... Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think you need a phone a friend feature on the show where we could like call Jeff Singer right now and be like... Hey, talk to us about like zombie healthcare situations. Yeah.
Well, and also
you work on that.
They didn't think through so many of it because they're still driving cars. Like gasoline doesn't last.
Oh yeah,
forever.
How long have they gone in
like
in
20
the
years or something?
Yeah, I think it's cooked at that point.
Yeah, they have,
which is a bummer for the narrative, but yeah.
Yeah, they don't. I don't know why they're not always just wearing like full riot gear all the time. You know, you should. In a world where if a zombie grazes you with their fingernails, you're going to die, you would be wearing body armor at all times. It's – and also because you have to shoot the zombies in the head, they all end up being perfect sharpshooters with very little practice, which I don't think I've ever shot a gun.
No.
But
you think they need more stormtroopers.
I think it's pretty hard to – right, the stormtroopers can't hit anything.
Right.
Why do stormtroopers even wear armor if when you throw a rock at them, they die?
Yeah.
There's another – I mean, Star Wars has all sorts of problems that we get into.
But I enjoy it, right? So, okay. People hate the new trilogy, right? I know.
I'm people. Loathe.
I like watch those movies and I'm like, I see all the problems. It's a Star Wars.
Go.
It's a Star Wars.
God.
And I'm
were
lasers. There was stuff.
Oh,
there was the Force. It was great.
God.
People should watch Eric Baim's interview with the Andor creator.
Well, that's great. Andor, we all love Andor.
Was
no
awesome.
Controversy there.
There's no Force in that, which I didn't even realize until I watched that interview. I was like, oh yeah, there's no lightsabers. There's no Jedis. That's interesting.
Yes, that one is good.
Sorry, we can move down your checklist.
Let's make sure we get in something a little bit more real again. So you know, our bosses don't. Well, you're the boss, so I guess we can talk about whatever we want. But
you're the boss of your show. We're very much like this. Like, yes, I'm the overall boss.
Yes.
Catherine's the boss.
Yeah.
But like this is your thing. So
that's nice.
There's no adults in the room. Except
I like to please
right
my
now.
Superiors. That's what propels me
we
in life.
Know. You would just follow orders for sure.
Oh, just following orders over here. We will follow them. The orders will be followed. They will be followed. Stephen A. Smith. Since you're a sports guy, I wanted to talk about. Maybe we'll actually play this clip of him topping. We're going to play it now.
I'm a fiscal conservative. I can't stand high taxes, but I'm a social liberal in the same breath because I believe in living and let live. I pay attention to the desolate and the disenfranchised. Yes, I like strong borders. That's absolutely true. We never needed open borders, but we don't need it to be completely closed either.
There it is. He said that he wants
to
do. I was looking at the viewers.
No, Cody's over there. So,
well, I was looking at the viewers.
Hey, Cody.
Yeah, Cody's great.
Cody's great. Thank you, Cody.
Director, producer, person.
Are we actually going to see it or?
I'm going to explain to you. No, we're not going to see it. They'll see it.
Are you going to? You should act it out.
So what he's... I don't think I can... I think that would get offensive real quick if I tried to do a Stephen A. Smith impression. I am thinking about
trying it. As long as you don't do the makeup, it's fine.
I'm not going to do it now. He said that
coward.
If he were to run, it would be
for president. To
for president, it mm-hmm. would be on a plat as a Democrat, but his platform would mm-hmm, be mm-hmm. he's a social liberal or social moderate, mm-hmm. but he hates taxes and regulation. He's an economic conservative.
Into that,
and then it was just some kind of common sense moderate stuff yeah. on police and border. That's I'm listening like that's what I think.
Yeah, I'm thinking of my whole arc of opinion on Stephen A. Smith. It goes back like 20 plus years, maybe even like. In 2003, when I was 12, and I was like, this black guy on ESPN, like, has some opinions, and I like it. And I thought that was cool. And then I became smart, and I was like, "Who? This guy is dumb, and he's just rage baiting." Mm-hmm. And now I'm kind of back around to, like, it could happen. Like, it would probably be better than Donald Trump, right? Mm-hmm. Like, not a good dude, not a good president. Don't love that. So, you know, anything's possible, right? Like,
well,
he could win. I don't know.
Well, okay. He could. I don't think he could win. The problem will be in the Democratic primaries. He could win a general election, I think.
Sure, sure.
He can't. Can he convince, you know, the most, you know, Democratic primary voters are insane people,
yeah.
is what I've increasingly yeah, come yeah, around yeah. to believe uh-huh. on both sides.
Right.
Right. Republican primary voter people.
Yeah.
You know, you have a choice between your normal Republican and, you know, someone who's going yeah. to jail for corruption. And they're like, give us the one who's going to jail for corruption, please. And then that one will lose the general election. And they'll be like, oh, my God, why did we lose?
Yeah.
They love to pick the less electable candidate.
Uh-huh.
Democrats, similarly, you know, in the primaries, what I understand that they want is hard left, hair on fire. Their blue hair being uh-huh. on fire.
Yeah,
it's a blue fire. It's like a Hades or something from the Hercules cartoon.
Oh, that's
that good that's
hair.
What they want, and they want ineffective resistance, and they want they want things that are unpopular.
Yeah.
So they also want they don't want some random guy. Democrats
okay.
want someone who is put in the time to be a partisan Democrat for 800 years.
Uh-huh.
The primary voters there are very rules-based. Republican primary voters are the opposite. They're like, wait, they just started saying conservative things 2 seconds ago?
Sign me up. Yeah. Okay, counterpoint.
Short memories on the right, long memories on the left.
Counterpoint. The Hercules soundtrack was the first CD my family ever had.
Yeah.
And, you know, Hillary Clinton beats Bernie Sanders for the nomination in 2016. Joe Biden beats Bernie Sanders and everybody who was Medicare for All for the nomination in 2020, right?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously he was president in 2024, so he gets mm-hmm. nominated again. Well, Kamala did. Sorry.
Hillary only won it because she stole it.
I'm going to blame this.
But Hillary stole it. Hillary stole it.
Hillary stole it.
She stole
at the convention.
It.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's true.
She cheated. I absolutely think Bernie Sanders would have won the national election in 2016.
Might have, yeah.
He would have won our state. He would have won Michigan.
Yeah, because I think he won Michigan in the primary. That's,
he won it massively in the primary.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Ann Arbor, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In 2020, I don't know. I'm not as persuaded in 2020, but who knows who won that election?
Yeah, who knows? It's not good, right? Like, Trump's bad. Stephen A. Smith's not great either. I think it could happen. I don't know. Because, like, why did Trump win the primary, right? Because cable TV was like, we're going to put these rallies
the skills,
on TV all day long.
Skills
knew how to
translate.
Get attention. Stephen A. Smith yeah. knows how to get attention.
Television skills
translate. Whether it's like saying something crazy about politics or saying something crazy about the Dallas Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
Usually the latter.
Mm-hmm.
Usually saying something crazy about Dak Prescott. But you know what?
Doesn't he, I don't know who that is, doesn't he idiosyncratically hate hockey or not know about what it is or something? I thought that's
I don't know about that,
his,
but I can go on a rant about how hockey is underrated for sure. Like, one of the great sport to watch on TV, great sport to watch in person, just like constantly flowing action. There's always drama at the end, right? Like, if one team is down by one or two goals, they pull the goalie and you're mm-hmm. like, the winning team gets the satisfaction of the empty net goal. Or, like the women in the U.S. women's hockey team had yesterday, pulled the goalie, scored the tying goal, win in overtime, amazing comeback. Hockey's awesome. More people should watch hockey. I really think, like, hockey in the 90s, right,
mm-hmm.
was a thing.
It was.
Right? Like, when the Red Wings were fighting against the Avalanche all the time, it was like a national news. People watched, like,
it was.
You watch a documentary and people were like, the Avalanche are coming to town. We're sending in death threats.
That's true.
Like, no one does that anymore.
Absolutely true.
Which is good, but it's also a sign that, like, hockey used to be a bigger thing.
The octopus everywhere because of the
still a
the
thing
games.
Sometimes, yeah. But I blame Gary Bettman. Bad at marketing, bad at labor negotiations. He is the reason hockey is not better off.
Yeah, that is true. I remember my parents having, watch parties for the Stanley Cup games, like in our basement, everyone in hockey jerseys. Hockey was bigger in the 90s. I also think basketball, maybe I could be wrong about this. You tell me if you think I'm wrong. I think basketball peaked as a cultural thing in the 90s.
I'll go a little later, but yeah.
Yeah, that was the cool, Space Jam.
Yeah, good point.
Cultural, the crossover event
You got a good point.
And basketball, Michael Jordan,
most
famous person on earth at the time.
Yeah.
That was the moment. And now I think football has basically just won the which is the sport.
Yeah.
And I would argue that that's because it just is the best sport. And
it's
like,
just
overall,
dudes. People want to see dudes hit each other.
It is the most watchable sport.
Yeah.
It's uniquely American.
I think a lot about how random we want our sports to be. And like, we don't want the best team to win every time. Like, that's boring. Mm-hmm. But we also don't want it to be super random and not know because it's just like random chance every time. So it's interesting that basketball in the 2010s, it was either the Golden State Warriors or LeBron on the Cleveland Cavaliers were winning the championship for like 5 years in a row.
I hate LeBron James.
Fair. And then but now.
China sympathizer.
Yes, very bad. But like since then, it's been like random, like five different teams win every year. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
I think about that a lot.
Yeah, I can tell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could subscribe to my newsletter.
Well, hockey, I'm not that interested in, and even heated rivalry couldn't make me more interested in it. Even, the part where they fall in love and carry on some affair, which I'm sure happens in hockey all the time, but,
So, the women, this could have been fake news, I could be wrong.
Probably with the women's team it does.
There was a U.S. women's hockey player was dating a Canadian women's hockey player, broke up the day before the gold medal game.
Well.
When they played against each other.
That's very sad.
Allegedly.
For the American superiority.
We won, so whatever.
Is the U.S. and the Canadian... No, they have to play each other. It's not like
the women... Yeah, they played each other.
Yeah.
The women are...
It's not like Canada and the U.S. are in an alliance against the Russian team or something.
No, well, they're banned from the Olympics.
The Russians?
Yeah.
Because of the invading of Ukraine?
Because of the war.
Yeah. I have...
Which, it's also because of the doping, but it's also because of the war.
I have changed my mind about that war a little bit. I don't often change my mind because I was...
You're supporting Putin now, huh?
It's more the opposite.
I
was initially very skeptical of continuing to fund this.
You're Zelensky core.
I was... thought Zelensky had unreasonable expectations for the course of this war, and he did have unreasonable expectations for the course of the war.
He has to.
He didn't want to... He has to, but I don't know. He did not seem they're going to have to. I was like, they have to. They're the losing. They're going to have to lose part of the country.
You're smaller.
It's unfortunate. We're not willing to send in ground troops. No one wants to send in ground troops.
Go do that.
So, right. Everyone agrees we're not doing that. So if we're not doing that, then I don't know what you want. Like, there has to be a negotiated.
Yeah, it's a big.
Right. So I was okay, cut a deal. But then they did come around to being willing to cut a deal more so. And now it's very clear the Russians are not going to settle for anything but conquering the entire country is what it seems to me.
That's not great, yeah.
So now I'm like, if they're not, now who's being unreasonable is clearly the Russian side. So if they really just want to conquer all of Ukraine and are going to keep doing it, then I guess we're supposed to make it hurt if they want to keep fighting. You know what I mean? It's it's changed. I wanted a negotiation, and we got to unfortunately give them a lot because they're in a bad position.
Yeah.
But it's like Tywin Lannister says, when your enemies defy you, you have to meet them with sword and fire. But when they submit, then you welcome their submission. But they're not. That's, Russia doesn't want to submit.
That's they from wanna... White Lotus. I don't.
Tywin Lannister.
I'm just kidding.
White Lotus. Did you watch White Lotus?
I didn't watch that either. Mm. Yeah. I guess it's bad that I have stronger feelings about Russia competing in international sports than I do about the war. But
what do you have strong feelings about? Because you're the editor, so you don't have your own beat on the.
I will say when the tariffs got struck down this morning,
you were excited.
I was like upstairs in my house, and I like ran downstairs to tell my wife, and I was like, "The tariffs are dead," and she was like, "Hallelujah!" It was a great day. So we were very excited about
this
that.
This stuff
and
will I was, be cheaper. This hopefully, stuff.
The... this is a good example because this is about the inputs, right? So this is American-made bourbon.
Right.
So you would think like, well, why would that be cheaper? Because of tariffs. But like, right, like the steel that goes into this and the wood that goes into the barrels and the steel that goes into the drums that they do the things in. I don't know. The distilling, the things, the inputs. That's why.
Right,
that's
it's true. Both Rand Paul and Marjorie Taylor Greene have said, you know, they talk to their constituents who are like, oh my, right, I'm making liquor or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I'm a small town distillery. And everything's more expensive. We can't do it. Please end this.
Yes. I am now realizing that like this bottle was perhaps twice as high when I came into work this
morning. Yeah, you're putting them away. You're really portraying the Christian character very accurate to his level of drinking. So we appreciate
Blessings.
I think we've gone through most of my list. Oh, here's one we didn't do last weekend, but I wanted to. Most libertarian presidents. Who do we think?
That's a
boring one. What last week we did what state is most libertarian, we think, if it were to break away from the US.
What did you say?
Came up with Arizona is the answer.
Oh,
which state, if it seceded and was on its own, would implement policies that are more libertarian than
not
now.
Utah, huh?
I said Utah, actually. Mm-hmm. And Christian came back with me, but they'd ban that stuff. On weekends or whatever, right? The Mormons?
I think it's now hipster enough that they wouldn't ban it, but they would ban porn.
They would ban cell phones.
There's
right
the good
there.
Horseshoe on porn that's like, oh, well, it's, you know, objectifying women and also like bad morality.
I think
the horseshoe would ban porn. I think there's enough like of a business economic case to keep the bourbon that they might keep that.
And their governor, who seems like a perfectly fine person, but he's big on cell
tech.
Phones are bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas I think Arizona they're kind of, you know, it's a purpley state. They're good on school choice.
But
they
what the jails would be very bad there. And because of remember Sheriff Joe?
Yeah, didn't he die or get him? Each door. We don't need to have facts on the show, so would something happen to him?
He wasn't good.
Well,
way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
he was the guy who was like, I'm giving you
everywhere.
Pink underwear. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure that was real rehabilitative, I'm sure. Yeah. Also, like, bad on immigration. Like, they would be like, sure, we'll let refugees come here from the rest of America if we split off. But, like, if you're coming from Mexico, no way. They would electrify that fence and, like, put up rail guns and just like, even if you were running away from zombies, they would be like, nah.
That sounds kind of cool.
It'd be maybe a good
rail
movie.
Guns and electric, yeah. Okay, presidents, obviously Calvin Coolidge.
Yeah.
That's who we like the most, I think.
Gotta go with my boy George Washington, right? Okay. Underrated, right? Like, he's got monument. He's a big deal. But whenever when someone says their favorite president isn't George Washington, I'm like, no, that's the wrong answer. Like, the dude who was like, I was president twice, I'm good. Like, going back to my Mount Vernon to, like, do my distilling and my farming. Like, that's the guy for me.
President's Day should just celebrate George Washington, not the presidents overall.
We shouldn't do it at all, but that's fine, too.
Fine to venerate George Washington as a civic religion type thing. We should do that. But, right, didn't they initially just make it all the presidents because they couldn't decide whether they wanted to celebrate Lincoln or Washington more, sure, or whatever, and that's why we got it? Maybe that's, again, we don't have to be accurate.
Yeah, I don't need to do the Lincoln counter-argument, like, yeah, he hated the press and whatever, but, like.
Yeah, well, yeah, he's a tyrant and enslaver, obviously, yeah, but, you know. Draft is a form of enslavement.
Zelensky. Also doing.
Well, I don't love everything, right? That Zelensky character is doing, which is why I was not banned the churches, banned the opposition party.
Elections banned to.
Elections banned. Yeah, this is not super liberal governance.
If America in World War II was like, well, we can't have elections, right?
That would
be crazy. We're in war. We would have been like, what?
We weren't under invasion, I guess, but we'd been attacked.
We had Pearl Harbor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. When the Germans invaded Pearl Harbor. I got to go with George Washington. He's my boo. Good dude.
That's all. He's great, but yeah.
It would be hard to pick.
Kind of a basic answer, my friend.
Since FDR.
It's like saying my favorite historical figure is like Jesus whatever. You're and your favorite color is red, and you're like the fire truck. It's Reagan is libertarian, libertarian rhetoric, I think.
Who's the most libertarian Democrat president? I'm thinking through this at the same time. So let's go through that one.
Grover Cleveland is one we throw out often.
It was Bill Clinton who said the era of big government is over, did some welfare reforms, signed into law Section 230.
Did some libertarian
Could have been a lot worse.
Things.
Yeah.
I mean, of one the Democratic.
One because the previous guy said no new taxes and did not do no new taxes.
That's an interesting libertarian case for Clinton. We've not had, I mean, our Democrats in recent memory have been pretty bad in my view, as have our Republic. I mean, they've all just been bad and not libertarian, so it's hard to write. Jimmy Carter deregulated the airlines, right, which is a very libertarian thing to do, even though no other aspect of his governance was libertarian or coherent at all.
Was that the Interstate Commerce Commission is something that nobody knows about anymore. Everyone should know about this. This was like anything that like trucking, anything. Like, it just set price controls on everything. It was terrible.
Yeah.
And, like, they repealed it in the 70s or 80s. Mm. I don't know under which president that was. Mm. It was either Carter or Reagan.
We don't know who to give that credit to. They raised the drinking age by threatening everyone with
the highway funding.
Highway funding.
Is that a Reagan?
That was under Reagan, I believe.
Yeah.
That happened in the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that.
So I've heard some people say that Trump is the most pro-vice president in history. They meant this as a bad thing. But like, not trying to ban sports gambling, like open to
marijuana.
Deschedule marijuana and like something about, no taxes on tips because OnlyFans is coming under
that's
that.
Very interesting, actually.
Trump
is good on... those things you're mentioning, particularly because the energy on the new right is very against gambling, pornography. There's a crisis of this, how this is impacting men and families and whatever. And Trump is not on board with any of that at all, or doesn't care about it, or is not doing anything.
In his personal life, he's very, conservative in that sense of the word, right? Like, doesn't drink.
Right.
I guess he does sleep around, I guess. But
well,
I don't know what website.
Allegedly did at one point.
He doesn't
know how to
go to porn websites, so he's probably not doing that.
Right.
But yeah.
There was some Trump official who said they're not going to ban, or they want to federalize. Although then I have mixed feelings about this.
Mm-hmm.
This is a hard one because I don't want more regulation on sports gambling and prediction markets, right? It was prediction markets.
That's what it
was.
Yes.
I don't want more regulation on that.
However,
should the federal government tell the states they can't do their own regulation on
this
it?
This is a big...
That's a tough one.
I come up against Christian in a lot of this, right?
Because
Christian loves preemption on the state level. Because like states will be like, oh, local cities can't do this with
he
zoning.
He does love preemption. That's and what we always say about him. Like,
there's a strong
take.
That guy
take. Loves his preemption.
I know. Yeah, Christian loves preemption, Britschke.
Yeah. That's a Britschke too far for me.
It's tough. You know, and I'm just like, what do I know? Like, it's happening either
way. I like
way.
States' rights.
So I like, yes.
I like the
I like
idea.
Local rights is how I put it. Is that like, right, when I can move from Ann Arbor had, you know, it doesn't, but I'm saying, let's say Ann Arbor had like socialized healthcare, mm-hmm. like had a British NHS system mm-hmm. in just Ann Arbor, right?
Yes.
And I was like, well, that healthcare sucks. I don't want to live there.
Right.
So I'm like, I'm going to go to Ypsilanti
right.
with their free market healthcare system
right.
and no zoning and whatever, right? Like, that's what I would love. But I think state preemption is bad for that. But there's like the these, federals and state, there's too many layers.
And these,
and there's counties. We have too many layers.
We have too many layers. And these are rules for very, with these tech companies that it's a little, their business crosses boundaries by its very nature to a degree that doesn't really.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot with this UK censorship stuff.
Yeah.
So we had a good piece recently that was like, the UK wants to like ban these sites that like aren't age verifying or whatever. Mm-hmm. But and it's like extending into the US.
Right.
Because they're not age verifying in the US.
I agree with JD Vance telling them
fudge off.
Go fuck themselves. Don't do that. You want more funding for your little NATO defense? You can cut
that. So like
there
are laws that could be passed that are like, we like you don't have any liability for that. Like don't pay those fines. Like
that's interesting.
It's fine. We're not gonna financially extradite you or whatever. So,
that's interesting. Yes, we should. I would agree with that. Our government should promise our tech companies that we're not going to help hunt them down running afoul of Brussels or whoever, some French effete authority.
Yeah.
Tell him, you have not censored la misinformation. Yeah.
Would you ever live in Europe?
That was French and then Spanish at the end. Would I live in Europe?
Would you live in
Europe?
No. But do you like to visit?
I like to visit Italy.
Okay.
I liked Italy. Sicily. Spent some time in Sicily.
You weren't afraid to tweet when you were in Sicily.
I don't think they care there. This is mostly a British and German and French thing. Well, Italy is under the has Giorgia Meloni as a ruler who's she seems kind of cool. I don't know. I think she's people were worried about her being very far right, but. She seems
you probably
have a good
pay
head
more attention than me, so I'm going to go with your opinion.
Yeah,
I know there was like concern she was going to be like crazy anti-immigrant, which may have cooled a little bit. But.
They're all heading that way, but I think she's not. She seems fine.
I'm glad you were allowed in.
The vice things, though, to get back to that, and the AI stuff.
Yeah.
That's Trump at his best.
Absolutely.
Thwarting all regulation of AI, which the administration has really gone all in on that. And we do have to appreciate that that was not a guarantee.
Oh, like, for absolutely.
Biden and Biden was terrible on this.
Mm-hmm.
Put out a, you know, presidential memorandum on why we should fear and stop this technology at all costs. Kamala would have been as bad.
Sam Altman would be in jail right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that would not be good. And now if Sam Altman goes to jail, it's because Elon Musk orders it to be done, which would also be bad.
Yeah.
But
or he'll go to the moon. I don't know. You know, one or the other.
Moon jail.
Moon jail.
It'll be like a moon is a harsh mistress.
Let's go.
Which is a great book.
Should that be a movie?
Yeah. It could be a movie.
I think they would have a weird time with like the family system though. Yeah.
Right, where you're all in polyamorous kind of
And like the, when you get married into the polycule, you have to sleep with the eldest member, but you don't actually, so.
Yeah. I read that book for the first time probably 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay, yeah.
It was great. It's very, almost like an instruction manual for how to do a revolution.
Yes.
Like it
with
doesn't.
With the AI.
Yes, and the AI is very – Mike, the AI is so interesting because it is in some ways the most rounded and interesting character. I guess the professor's pretty interesting too.
Yeah.
But you get a lot – there isn't a lot of – and I don't mean this as a criticism. There's not a lot of heart in the book until the end. Like the most emotionally involved part of the book is the death.
Spoiler alert.
spoiler alert, sure, is the death of the AI at the end. It like overloads itself.
Yes.
And then when it reboots,
to help them win,
it's no longer self-aware.
Yeah, I really wanted an ending where it was like, I just want to hear the jokes again. Or like, here's my list of jokes. Tell me which ones are funny. Such a good part. Like, so humanizing of the AI. And I love that.
It was, that was interesting.
Yeah.
And then it was gone. And then the main character, I can't even think of his name right now. But he, then he's wondering where it's gone.
Yeah.
And he's speculating about it still being alive. It's affecting at the very end.
Yes.
But it's not like that up through the rest of the book. It's just, here's how if you had a colony on the moon and you wanted to rebel against Earth, like literally the steps you would take.
Yes. I love the part when they're like, Mike, calculate the, our expected success here. And they're like, 10%. And he's like, they're like,
those are rookie numbers. We got to get those up.
No, they were like, 90% chance we die. That's fine. We'll do it. Let's go.
Yeah.
And it works out. So it's a good book.
Yeah.
Great book.
That's Heinlein.
Yeah.
And I read
Stranger in a Strange Land. Terrible.
Oh my God. Let's talk about how bad that book
is. It's so bad. I was like, oh, it'll be like a version of.
I read that one two or three years ago and it's terrible. But I liked the first 40% of it. And then it becomes like his weird cult.
Yeah. It is a little bit like three different short stories with connected characters.
Right.
Like,
I liked it at the beginning as they're working out the legal status of a human being who was born on Mars. And was raised by aliens and has the aliens' powers, which are pretty cool.
Telepathic.
It's a quintessential fish out of water story. I love fish out of water stories. I listened to it on audiobooks and I loved the performance of that character. Okay. Michael Valentine Smith, right? That's his name. And or Valentine Michael Smith, one of those ways. And he loves water and your water brothers and he has his language and he's and it's so interesting as they're working out his status and like they break him out of the hospital.
Yeah.
And then it just becomes about Heinlein's desire to convince young women that they should join a cult where they sleep with a creepy old man.
And when they have an orgasm, they say, I have seen God.
Yeah, it's creepy and makes me uncomfortable, and they overthrow some religion, and it's just it becomes so weird and so baffling.
And there's kind of a Waco situation at the very end.
It's a Waco situation, very much, and that character takes over the whole book. The old guy who seems like a stand-in for Heinlein.
Oh yeah, because he's like, I'm a Hollywood guy. I have a pool in my house and my friends.
Right, he's just the smartest guy and the coolest guy and all the women want to sleep with him and he's the best guy ever and he's just some old guy.
Yeah.
It gets weird.
We did in our space issue, we ran a comic that was a 4-page comic bio of Heinlein, which was pretty cool.
He's a fascinating guy.
Yeah.
Love him as an author. Someone of chameleon-ish ideological predilections, has some flirtations with all of them, with libertarianism, with socialism, with right-wing stuff, but then you don't know if it's a satire of right-wing stuff.
Yeah. What do you think, this is not sci-fi, but it's like George R.R. Martin, do you think, I'm sure he said stuff about this. Is he libertarian at all? Is his writing libertarian at all? Because it's very much like, the ruling powers are bad.
He said that he's basically a moderate Dem.
Okay.
And so he's a John Stewart,
if only we had the smart people in charge.
I just broke my pen. No, not even that. He was like, he doesn't like Trump and wanted Biden. He doesn't say a lot about politics as far as I can tell, which is just as good. Okay. Certainly Game of Thrones deals with politics in an interesting and complicated way without being preachy about one specific.
Yeah, House of the Dragon is interesting in that it's like, oh, if only we had just like let women be queen, then
well,
it would be okay.
I don't think he's saying that. I don't think he's saying that. You think he's saying that?
Well, but I kind of do. I don't think he's saying that about like the presidency. I don't think it's supposed to be like a
not because she's a woman, just because she would. Well, the show sanitizes her a little bit, honestly.
Okay,
in order not to have a protagonist.
Okay,
in the source material, you almost like her ironically. Mm-hmm. Is what a lot of people do because she is pretty vicious, which is maybe where it's going because they keep killing her precious little darlings.
They do.
There's a lot of examples in the Game of Thrones books of like there being a good leader or someone who should be in charge, who then dies of the plague or dies in a joust or dies in a
I don't know anybody who's died in a joust.
He's very accidents of happenstance. Like, okay. Things would have been great if that person got to rule, but in real history, you had somebody who would have been a perfectly good king who dies of dysentery whatever, and that's real life. Yeah. And then his son, who has the same name, takes over, and he's a madman, and they have 80 years of suffering and warfare.
He's an Aegon or an Aegon.
That's the real history.
Aeron and a whatever.
Yeah, that's the real history that he wanted to tell.
Yeah.
So
interesting.
Being at the mercy of, I mean, it's certainly a critique then of a monarchical system because the succession crises and the madness of the rulers.
Yeah, that's the big thing, right? With the monarch, is like, what do we do now? And it's like, we would just be like, well, the vice president takes charge.
But I don't think
we would be like, well, and then 4 years we have an election.
Actually,
it's fine.
Christian and I did discuss this last week a little bit. I don't think being anti-monarchy is inherently pro-libertarian.
Okay.
Because the alternative to monarchy is usually just liberal democracy, which can be can have liberty. It's not.
I want people to vote for libertarian. I also know what opinion polls say about taxing the rich.
Right.
So.
You know what I'm saying there? So obviously, whatever, democracy is the best government that we know, or the worst government except for all the others, bloody, bloody, blah.
Yeah.
But I just don't.
The Abraham Lincoln of World War II, Winston Churchill.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And again, we don't know. We'll just never know how many people died exactly. But, we'll do our own research on that topic.
Sure.
I have a little bit of a soft spot for monarchy as an ideal, but it doesn't seem to work out well. You don't think a constitutionally constrained monarch could work?
No.
You don't?
No. No. Prince Andrew.
He was on the list.
He was
today.
On the list.
But,
Epstein list.
Natalie said people are sick of hearing about my stupid opinions on Epstein. So
they're
I
good opinions.
Not even...
It's a witch hunt.
You're with me? Oh my God, you're with me. I found one fan.
Christian's not with you?
No, he's such a cuck on this. He's like, oh, boo-hoo, I read an article in the Miami Herald about how people were mistreated horribly.
People did bad things. If you have the evidence to bring charges, they would bring charges, right?
Well, they're bringing charges against Prince Andrew, but not for sexual misconduct.
For sharing
state secrets with Epstein or whatever. Yeah. It's not for the Virginia
Giuffre
accusation.
I guess bad, yeah. I mean,
well, that's bad, and if he's guilty, I don't care.
If you're gonna share state secrets, it got to be with the press.
Yeah.
Give me your state secrets. And I will give them to a better writer than I to report them.
Well, did have Matthew Petty, who's covered a lot of the
Smart
Epstein.
Man.
Covered a lot of the Epstein stuff for us. This is his doing, right? Because he wrote something for us for
a
reason.
He was one of the first to be like, yeah, Prince Andrew's in here. What's up with that? And I think the connection there was that... this is wrong. I'm not going to libel anyone, so I'm not going to
remember.
But Prince Andrew was on Reason.com, so go look at that.
Negatively
in relation to the Epstein files.
Monarchy. I'm not a fan of the British royal family, who I find a little. I mean, the Queen was a lovely lady. We all like the Queen.
King Charles sucks, right? Like,
he's not my favorite King Charles.
No, we should go.
That would be the second
next
one.
Guy would be good. What's his name?
William.
William!
No,
yes.
I don't care about those inbred,
he's like a bagel eating. That was offensive. I love bagels too.
But bagel eating? What is that?
That was a slur I just came up with for like a boring person.
I went.
Because he's like a balding. You went anti-Semitic.
I did go. Bagel eaters.
I love bagels. He's like a boring dude who would just be like, I'm the king. I'm gonna go hand people the trophy at the end of the marathon or the FA Cup, and like it's gonna be fine. FA Cup is soccer.
I really don't care about that one.
Yeah, and he would just do the ceremonial bits, and that would be good.
Can we agree that soccer is the gayest sport?
That would be an interesting debate for the Free Agent newsletter. Because I've been long been thinking
we're really
about, like,
elevating the discourse.
Yeah,
today.
I've long been thinking about like what's the most capitalistic or libertarian sport, and it's probably soccer. But like gayest, maybe.
What's libertarian about soccer?
Is the governance, basically, is that, like, in American sports, there's salary caps, there's...
Oh.
You have to trade, like, this person for that person. In soccer, you can just be like, I'm going to give you money, and you're going to let me sign this person if I give you money to sign this person. And there's no salary caps, like, there's no union system that says, like, oh, the rules about, like... A big problem in soccer right now is that, like, there's too many games that, like, there's competitions governed by, like, four different groups. And they're all like, okay, now we want to add, like, two more games. And the players are like, this is too many games. But there's no, like, strong union to be like, we're boycotting the games.
Mm.
So there's no, like, labor strikes in soccer. It's pretty libertarian. Mm. It's a good time. But gayest, that's a tough call.
Yeah.
I don't
soccer,
know.
It's soccer. I'm confident it's soccer. Not even heated rivalry. Not could even shift rivalry. My perspective.
Yeah. It's not basketball. Basketball no, seems pretty straight.
Sport. This is the most I've ever talked about sports in my life.
You're doing
life,
great.
Really.
You're doing great, but, sweetie.
But it's been fun. It's been a pleasure. Yeah. I think we're
polo?
About
polo.
Oh, well, that's not even a sport. It's cupcake baking.
Water polo and horse polo. Both
what are you,
both the gayest
what
sports.
What is water polo? Is that horses in the
it's,
water?
It's soccer in the water.
It's soccer in the water.
Yeah. You got to throw the ball.
It's not Marco Polo.
No.
That was fun to play as a kid.
Just because you like touching people? Or...
No, you like swimming. I like being in the pool.
I'm sorry.
That I like weird. When you call... you never played freeze tag as a kid? You never did any of those
things?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
What was your recess activity?
Kickball. Loved kickball.
Kickball's a good one.
Kickball's a good one. Yeah. I don't think kickball's very gay. I think kickball's a beer drinking sport.
Yeah.
The gays can drink beer.
I don't like beer very much. Okay. Beer has made a big comeback in the last 10 or so years.
I would have been drinking beers, but then I would have been like,
you're a beer
after
guy.
30 minutes, I would have been like, we got to take a bathroom break.
What is your bad for the beer pop. Of chase? We can stop.
Oberon, Summer Shandy, those are good beers.
Michigan has good beers.
Michigan has great beers because of its deregulated craft breweries before everybody else.
Bell's, right?
Which is now, you know, owned by corporate overlords, but like still produces good stuff. Bell's founders are good breweries in Michigan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm still a wine guy. There's a Suave Classico white
are you
wine
gonna drink, are you
on
gonna
my
drink
desk
it? Yeah, it's
right
white,
now.
Though.
I can drink white wine. Maybe I'll have fish for dinner, and then that would be the appropriate
it would,
thing
it
to do.
It would be, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, I brought in some leftovers yesterday that I didn't eat. So waiting for me as we wrap up here is a nice little pork that I grilled.
Okay.
And some Brussels sprouts I threw in the oven.
Pork
and,
loin or what?
Pork loin, yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I never liked pork loin.
Oh.
Sorry, Mom. Oh.
Sorry about that.
I don't know if Mom's going to make it this far. We'll see.
Mom will be out by then. This is not a podcast for Mom.
Oh, almost 2 hours. Look at us.
We're,
okay.
We're going to wrap up right here.
All right.
Thank you for making this appearance. I'm going to...
This is not sponsored
I'm
going to
break out Christian from whatever layer of prison he's
I hope so.
Gotten himself into.
His writing prison. He needs to write up the story.
Well, we're all trapped in a prison of our own making
okay.
on some level. Thanks for watching. See you next week.